Hey, After Buzzers, welcome to the Good Doctor After Show. We are back and we are breaking down Season 2, Episode 11, Quarantine Part 2. Last we saw, Sean had broken down, Dr. Lim was infected, and Morgan was a solo surgeon. How'd the chaos pan out? We'll be talking all of that, so don't go anywhere.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, Good Doctor fans. Happy New Year.
New Year, yes.
It is so good to be back, Taquila.
It is. It feels like it was such a long hiatus that I'm just glad to be back in the gist of things and just, you know, the normalcy of life again.
And of course, the show had to leave off on a huge cliffhanger, so this episode was huge.
And much needed and very intense, so I'm ready to get into it.
What's up, guys? I'm Veronica Valencia, and joining me today, to my left, we have...
I am Taquila Jackson. Again, welcome back and Happy New Year to everyone. Hopefully, it's getting started on the right foot.
This episode, we will be talking all about the chaos from the quarantine, how our residents panned out, the relationship between Dr. Park and his son, Claire and Melendez trying to save their patient, as well as we would like to highlight a real-life good doctor. All of that coming up, but before we get into it, Taquila, what do you think of today's episode? Big return.
It was, yes. I loved it. I loved the intensity of it and didn't know what patient was going to go left, what patient was going to go right. I loved how Dr. Sean also just got himself under control, which I thought was really huge for him too. Dr. Glassman was being a bit of a butthole. Yeah. I mean, we're kind of used to his like no-nonsense kind of attitude, but he was being a bit of a butthole to Leah.
To Leah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just say, piggyback off of that, we're definitely going to get into more of that. It's just kind of interesting because for a while now we have been talking about like, oh, it's, you know, kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt. You know, he's going through some very tough struggles right now. But it also comes to a point of where it's like, don't be as much of a butthole.
Purposefully hurting yeah. someone because you are hurt. Which they say hurt people, again, understandably so. But he took it a little too far, in my opinion. And we're warm in here because we both have on sweaters. we're going to have a good
it's
show.
It's a bit chill today, so I'm glad that we can stay a bit warm.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I have said this already just a little bit, but I feel like the one word to really describe this episode is complete chaos. Just there was a whole lot of going on. There were surgeries happening left and right. There were people trying to like maneuver through like secret tunnels, yes. like trying to get what they needed. But and so that was it was like an adrenaline rush. And to that extent, I liked it. But it was also kind of a confusing, chaotic, because the show was throwing around a lot of medical terminology that, you know, I really didn't know. And sometimes they weren't explaining it as well for me to kind of understand what it was they were doing that would make sense right. later on. So it was chaotic in a lot of sense. I think we should definitely go into probably what were the two biggest cliffhangers from the last episode, which was Sean breaking down in the fetal position right. and Dr. Lim being infected. So let's go and start with Sean. What did we think he was going to snap out of it quickly?
I didn't at first. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be, I guess, an episode we can call it where he was just, it was too much coming at him. Then the lights distract him. And I think maybe it was just the pressure, the intensity of what all was going on and the enormous amount of, I guess, just kind of, the breach of the virus, not knowing what it was and where it was coming from, and how it entered into everyone's system. I just thought it was going to be more prolonged. Kudos to Morgan for being like the quarterback of everything mm-hmm. and keeping her emotions leveled until she exited the hospital, at least.
Yeah.
Until she got off work, let's say that. But no, I definitely thought it was going to be a longer episode for him to finally snap back into Dr. Murphy as we know him.
Yeah, like you were saying, piggyback from what you were saying, Taquila, like, shout out to Morgan
yes.
for kind of keeping everyone sane. I mean, obviously, in the ER, we have Sean as well as Dr. Park. Both of them were kind of having their own emotional journey, but Morgan, she's always been a character that's very tough, kind
Definitely.
Of stays on task and everything. And so kudos again to her for being able to help Sean realize what's important. Because as you were saying, I too thought that it would have at least been half the episode Sean kind of dealing and trying to find his way back to getting on task.
Right.
But it was very quick for him to realize, you know, I need to be a surgeon. And if I focus on the medicine, then I can do it.
And I thought it was very keen, or Morgan's perception, or her just knowing Dr. Murphy, to say, tell him about the surgery. Tell him what's going on. That will help him come to, which is great, because once the nurse started telling them about, I can't remember what patient they were working on at that moment, but once they started telling him what was going on, you did see him, like, you seen it all, like, in his aura and just his mind just come back to and get back to the mission at work, which was to try to save these patients. So I think that was great, because in my mind, the whole time, I'm like, call Dr. Glassman. He knows what to do. Call Dr. Mm-hmm. Glassman. And I don't know if, I guess in hindsight now, Dr. Glassman would have been the right person to talk to at that point because of what he was going through, or maybe would have been a distraction for him to help Sean, or help them help Sean out of his episode, if that what we'll call it. But yeah, I thought Morgan just was awesome, and I'm glad it didn't last long for Sean. And even when he did have those two other moments in the show where he kind of reverted back, sort of, he was able to pull himself out of those positions at one point, even if it was telling everybody. Did he say be quiet or shut up?
Be quiet.
When they were,
it was
be quiet.
Very, it was like,
okay,
a very
I feel
aggressive
like
be quiet.
It was, because that's why, then that's why I asked, was it shut up then? Because I felt that come out, or more stronger than needed. But it again was him being aware of his body and where he was about to maybe fall into another episode and just be caught in that moment instead of helping the patient. So I thought it was a good turn of events when that storyline just presented itself.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because so much of this show has kind of been doctors and other residents questioning if Sean is able to handle high pressure situations. And this was the highest pressure situation possible, because Sean had to deliver a baby on his own. And so at first he was, you know, starry-eyed, very excited that he got to perform a solo surgery. But it kind of took a turn for the worse, because, you know, he had that moment of worry and panic in front of, like, the head of the OBGYN department, like, that doctor, who kind of saw, like, can this guy handle it? And I got very nervous, because I feel like that's going to come back to bite him in the butt later.
Very true. Also, a good part, I think, too, was the fact where he was like, and I didn't know if it should have made me nervous, but one of the Sean moments that we usually say in his quotes, where he was telling Viola, this is going to be your first baby and mine.
I know.
I was like, so should we be scared? Or I didn't know how to feel about it.
Yeah.
But then again, it's one of those Sean-isms to where he makes you kind of chuckle or laugh a little bit too, even though it's a seriousness of the moment. And I think we'll get back to the part where you say you don't know if it's going to bite him in the butt. I have something on that a little later.
Oh.
And not necessarily a prediction, but just a question. So we'll get to that towards the end.
All right. I think we should also try and talk about our second really big cliffhanger, which was Dr. Lim being infected. But before we get into that, everyone, we're so happy to be back in the new year. And with the new year comes a lot more shows, which means a lot more content. So Tequila has a special announcement for you all.
Of course. Again, hey, After Buzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we do need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, please don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll definitely thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us to be the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you.
Of course.
All right, Dr. Lim. How did we feel about this particular storyline? Because it started off very scary.
Correct.
And then it got very happy.
I think I was on those lines of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Scary, because I felt like, okay, once she went down, I was extra nervous. Because then you had Morgan, Dr. Morgan and Dr. Murphy, excuse me.
Dr. Morgan. And I love it.
Did I say that? What is her? Resnick.
Resnick.
Sorry, Dr. Resnick.
Dr.
I always do that. Dr. Resnick.
No, I love
and
it.
Dr.
Let's
Murphy.
Go with it. I love it.
And I didn't think they would be able to handle everything. I think that goes into when Dr. Lin went down for me, I was just nervous. And then you see the other two patients dying because they still didn't find out what was going on, if it was airborne or where it was, or how to even sustain those patients till they found out. And then the CDC comes back and tells Dr. Andrews to keep doing the same treatment that they were already doing. And I'm like, no, we can't lose Dr. Lim. Come on now. She was just getting a life, riding her motorcycles, going to jail. Like, she was
drinking,
just getting
bourbon,
her life.
And, or whiskey or whatever it was she
drank. I think it was bourbon. I think you're right. And then her, I guess we can call it a relationship with Dr. Melendez, or
her flirtation.
We'll see what it'll be. Yeah, because I feel like it might have crossed the road this episode, mm-hmm. or line, I mean. But I was keeping hope that, no, she can't die. She can't die. But when we got towards the end, I was kind of disappointed how it was just like, oh, I'm better now. ECMO was great. Thank you for doing that, taking that risk. And I'm like, but I missed a part. It was a part in there that I think I needed to see, maybe resuscitation of some sort or something, to then bring us back gradually that she is better.
Exactly. That is kind of what I meant earlier by confusing chaos, in that Morgan was kind of talking with Dr. Andrews, of fighting with him almost on how to help work on Dr. Lim and make sure that she makes it out okay. And that they were throwing around terminology left and right that I was just like, what is it? How does it work? Is it supposed to help? Because, yeah, she kind of magically was just like, hey, I'm back. She, like, went from being pale as a ghost to, hi, I'm, like, lovely.
And did you
catch that, too? I'm glowing. Yeah.
Because when she was on the phone, you can see just the makeup that they wore. It looked like you said, just so pale and just drained. And no, like, blood was just going through her system. And then now you see she's all warm and light and just, can I have some water, please? And I'm like, that was the confusing part of it, at least for my emotions on the ride of this episode.
Mm-hmm. Not trying to get too far ahead, but the whole quarantine kind of being lifted and resolved was something I felt that was glossed over a bit, which kind of added to at least my confusion. I don't know if anyone else in the chat had a similar opinion, or if you had a similar opinion, and that, you know, it was this big deal for the last, like, you know, two and three quarter episodes, right. And then it just kind of, you know, didn't get much explanation as to how it just kind of ended, aside from maybe Morgan figuring out, oh, it's not airborne.
No, you know what? Those of you in the chat, let us know what you do think about how we didn't find out what was the cause or the disease, what that was going on. But now that you say it, I just realized that we didn't find out. Mm-mm. And are we done with this part? It seemed like we are done with the quarantine. So maybe we'll come back later in aftermath. They'll figure out this is what took place or what happened. But yeah, I'm still shocked for a second, because that realization just hit me. For the most part, I think in the chat they're talking about, just to sidestep a little bit, give them some love, because we do love our chatters, our AfterBuzz, the Good Doctor chatters. They're in thinking about Morgan. They want to know if, like, they've seen a glimmer of Morgan's heart grow three sizes these last two quarantine episodes. And they're like, is that a bad thing? Billie Jean Girl 24 wanted to know if that is a bad thing. Hmm. And then Coffee Time was like, yeah, she agrees too. Morgan hasn't been the most wonderful person up till now, but she agrees that her heart got a little bigger. And I chimed in and said, yeah, heck no, it's not a bad thing. But we don't think it's going to last long. Yeah, we all don't think it's going to last long.
I think it was nice seeing Morgan, seeing a little bit of her vulnerable side the last couple of episodes, but I think this is going to take her three steps back. I think this is going to build a wall around her, because she's probably going to think, oh, anyone I get close to leaves me in some way, shape, or form. I think that is what happens to her going forward.
And I'm sorry, just a sidestep off track a little bit, but back to Morgan, because...
Yeah, of course.
Because she found out that ECMO was the thing to help bring back Dr. Lim, that Tyler had to die. And like, if she could feel like, oh man, if I had thought of this sooner or tried it sooner, maybe he would still be here and they might have a thing going on, which I was actually kind of looking forward to seeing when she pulled out his face mask and noticed that it was a hole in it. I thought she was reading like a love note he like wrote at last minute or something to his family, like, tell my parents I love them or something like that. I didn't expect for her to find just the, you know,
the rip,
but which was the cure to help Dr. Lim. But yeah, I just thought it was going to be something more emotional, I guess, to pull on our strings to like Morgan a little more.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely give Morgan credit because she has definitely grown a little bit these past few episodes. And actually, that's a good segue into another character who we've seen grow and then another character who we've seen kind of go back a couple steps, which is Glassman and Leah. Oh,
yes. Their bond was, I want to say comical, a little bit of it. And then also it was another, like you said, a growth and just pull my strings a little bit more. I'm starting to be Team Leah just a little bit. But it was also just to see that when they first said that Dr. Glassman's cancer has come back, I was crushed. I was like, okay, maybe this, like, I still can't, I was conflicted because I'm like, he cannot leave the show by way of cancer, dying from cancer, because he's too vital to me still, to Sean's life and just to the show. But then I thought, well, if that is what's to come, so we can see, you know, maybe other characters come on, Sean have another relationship, maybe Leah moves in Dr. Glassman's place, or Claire, you know, whoever, that would be good too, because I also like those relationships that Sean has as well. But I'm glad it's meningitis. Sean said,
as opposed to the cancer, Sean saying,
right? Because I mean, meningitis is still serious, but as opposed to the cancer, and I'm glad Sean took it in that manner. And then steps in Leanne's like, so Sean, do you mind? I feel like it was a little shady, but like, Sean, do you mind if Dr. Glassman gives you a hug? And I felt like Dr. Glassman probably really needed that too. So, I think I love their interaction during this episode. She kind of gave him a dose of his own medicine. She gave him that bluntness that I'm not taking no no's from you. I'm going to make you stand up and fight for it like he does with the other people in his life.
Exactly. I have struggled with Leah's character a bit this season. We all know that. Yeah, it's kind of obvious that we're not, that in the beginning, especially when she came back and kind of assumed, oh, no consequences for everything that happened previously. Right. We kind of gave her a hard time. And I know I definitely have. But I respected her so much this episode because to what you were saying, Tequila, she gave him, Glassman, that bluntness that he needed to hear. But also, Glassman, what made Glassman kind of disappointing this episode, he was like, Sean can't handle it, you know, I'm just his mentor. Where it's like, okay, Glassman, you're definitely more than his mentor, you're basically his family. But what I appreciated about Leah's bluntness is that she was really trying to get it through Glassman's mind that Sean is an adult. Sure, he has autism, but he is an adult that can handle situations and he will process them his own way, and we need to realize that. And I think, and it's interesting because at one point in time, that's how Glassman was. He was vouching to the board to let Sean on as a resident, and he kind of retreated so much, and now he's having this fight with Leah. And I loved hearing that from her, where she's like, hey, yes, he has this thing, but he is an adult. He is mature. He can handle situations. He is bright and intelligent, and you need to realize that again. And I loved that.
And to give him that opportunity to do so, which, again, was great, and great perspective on that, too, as well as Billie Jean Girl 24 in the chat. She says that Glassman and Leah have a father-daughter relationship. So I was like, oh.
And that would make a lot of sense considering his first few episodes where he was having hallucinations.
Of his daughter. Of his daughter. And so I thought that was a good point, too. Both of your perspectives are actually right on, because it's, we don't see anybody else in Dr. Glassman's life. So who does he have? And he's trying to protect Sean, where we can clearly see Sean doesn't need the protection anymore. At least in most things, he, like Leah was saying, and like you just reiterated, takes it in his own way. Decides what's best action course or however he needs to do with it, if he needs to talk, if he needs to find more information, if he needs to go around and ask others their opinion to help him come to a reasonable, I don't want to say feelings, but a reasonable conclusion on how he should then carry himself or help that person. And it's no different at all. I do like when Leah did point him out too, as well as saying that he's not a good friend or a good mentor to Sean because they would both tell the truth. Mm-hmm. So that was great.
Right in the heart. I do want to point out something that you had mentioned earlier, Tequila, about kind of, oh, Glassman's cancer is not back. And we were just talking about this off screen not too long ago about how the Good Doctor has been toying with the idea of death of a character. They toyed with the idea of maybe Dr. Lim will you know, not be able to survive the infection, or Dr. Glassman will die of cancer. And we were discussing this, how for a medical drama, this show tends to have a lot of, not all the time, but they do tend to have a little bit more of like the positive, you know, learning experience, you know, some patients coming out with really great results, which is unusual for a medical drama.
It really is. And I think now that you're saying that too, again, that it's also kind of uplifting. You're watching a show that is more inspirational and is more like, you know, you never know who's watching this show and somebody has cancer and it could give them that boost to keep trying and keep fighting. You know, you never know who's watching the show and it's their first baby and they may be sick or need a C-section or whatever it is. And pray to God, actually, they don't have and a resident on their first time during a solo surgery, okay? Or if so,
I'm
they
sure
need
Viola
to have,
was like, oh my God.
I would have been at least. If so, they definitely need to have Dr. Murphy's superpowers. But yes, yeah, so I like it in that end too, because it flips the scale. We're used to seeing these medical dramas and so much just death going on, or they couldn't save the patient. And that pulls our heartstrings and provides a sense of compassion as well. But I do like the just the balance that they do show in this show.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the flip side of, you know, maybe we will, because they've hinted at the idea, maybe we will unfortunately see a death of a character. I know some of the fans have been throwing around that idea. So to our fans in the chat, and we can get to this later in predictions, do we think there might be a death coming, or do we think that all of our residents and surgeons are going to make it through the season? So we'll see.
And
we'll
get who to will that be?
Who will that be?
So do you think it will be one? And who will it be? Ooh, mm-hmm. Okay. That's going to be a hard one. Mm-hmm.
And I know I just threw out that theory, and I loved the theories from our fans in the chat saying how Glassman and Leah had a father-daughter relationship.
Yes.
So I think that's a great segue into our father-son relationship this episode. But before we get into that, I just want to take a moment to remind all of our fans about iTunes. Of course, you can always watch us on YouTube, leave us a comment, enter our chat, and discuss along with us. But if you can't make it, you can always download us on iTunes and take us with you on the go. Please go rate, review, and subscribe. It lets us know the producers you like listening to us. We love being here and discussing. So rate, review, and subscribe. All right, let's go into Dr. Park and Kellen, which I really liked Dr. Park's entire arc between these two episodes, because we've always seen that he's a bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
We always see that he's not cold, but he's very not, I feel like maybe not invested.
There we go.
Is maybe a better word.
Yes.
He doesn't get as emotionally invested as maybe, say, Claire mm-hmm. does with her patient cases, or maybe even Morgan from time to time, as we saw with the girl who was like the violinist and she had to have her arm removed and so on and so forth. What did we think about Park and his relationship with Kellen this episode?
We got to find out why they were distant, which was kind of like a harsh story a little for me, because it's a realization for so many, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Becoming a doctor and what it takes, the time, the energy to become a doctor, to go through medical school, residency, all of that that's entailed, and to still have a family, and you have to balance the two. I'm pretty sure it's a hard balance. And like Kellen told him, you know, you were at my game, whatever sport that was, you were at my game, but you were on your computer the whole time. It's the little things that you think may not be noticeable because you're like, I'm present, but you're really not. So I'm glad we got to see kind of the discord of what was going on and how they've mended their relationship, I would like to say. And I just hope that we get to still see that he's going to be now a vital part in Dr. Park's storyline, because it, you see what he risked his career and his own life to go and help him find his inhaler, recharge mm-hmm. his inhaler, help him, Kellen, his son, and then to save his life too. And at first it didn't look like, I didn't believe it looked like he was going to be able to do anything, because again, they were quarantined. And I also thought too that it was very keen that Kellen seen him. He was like, I seen you with the taser. And he was like, it was just a threat. I didn't do anything to him mm-hmm. physically. But you're just very mindful about how you think your children aren't watching you, aren't picking up on things. And maybe, again, you know, you want to be a doctor, a better lifestyle for his family and for him to do what he loves. But also you just see some of the things that could fall in the midst of you going after your career.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like with this episode, we definitely saw certain characters' emotions coming out a lot more because they had a loved one in risk, such as Park with Kellen and even Melendez with Lim, because we kind of, there's a lot of hints being thrown out there with that storyline. And so obviously I love the fact that we saw Dr. Park finally getting the chance to kind of be the protective parent that I'm sure Kellen always wanted. But it was also nice for Kellen to get a perspective because he was seeing his father in action, you know, in a sense. He was seeing the chaotic nature of an emergency room and a hospital. Granted, it was a very unusual situation, but he did see what it takes to be a surgeon. And I think there's kind of this nice balance when they, you know, kind of repaired their relationship a little bit at the end. There's this nice balance of, I understand the workload that you have, and I also understand how you need me to be there as a parent.
Yes.
So I like how they kind of got to share each other's perspectives.
And I also, too, that Kellen got to get his hands into it a little bit and help resuscitate and revive Viola's baby. And I'm sure that had to be a proud moment, and maybe he can sense some of the energy that goes at different levels of being scared, of being nervous, and then being proud because you helped a patient come back to life or to heal. So I think it was, they both were able to look in each other's or step into each other's shoes for a moment. And I hope that is going to continue to help them mend their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Kind of crazy too, how Sean, after he had his almost like little mini breakdown of aggressively telling everyone to be quiet, and he goes out there and he's like, just who knows CPR, just kind of casually walking away from the baby who's in trouble and Viola. And he's just like, come here, perform CPR on this baby. If I was Kellen, I would have been, I'm sure he was nervous out of his mind. You don't know what you're getting yourself. No. Like that's a life this surgeon is putting in your hands.
And he, being Kellen, didn't even get to finish his full sentence. Because he said something about health class. And I'm like, oh, no. So he's not really, like, you learn it in health class. And you're in high school. You pay attention. Sometimes you don't. You know, you don't take things that seriously. But then I was like, oh, my gosh. So he's going to go in here and freeze or not know what to do. Or it's just going to be too much for him to handle. And he's going to, like, back out. But he was a soldier, and which was good. He jumped right in. And even though he didn't know if he was doing the right thing or not, he just kept doing it, kept paying attention to what Sean and the director of the OBGYN was telling him to do. And then, you know, we hear the baby crying.
Also kind of going from like super pale ghost 1 minute to glowing, glowing baby. I really liked that kind of obvious transition this entire episode.
Right. It just made me think like both times. I was like, really? That quick? It just, I mean, again, it's TV. We do know that. Mm-hmm. But it was just the quickness of it. And we didn't get that middle ground to where we see them coming back and then they're healed. And maybe because we only had an hour, 45 minutes at that. So, but yeah, it was very, well, only two times that it happened. The guy that his father died.
Yeah.
His wasn't that drastic when he came to being after he got the transfusion. But with the other two, with the baby and with Viola too, because she was losing blood. She was hemorrhaging, wasn't she? She was bleeding out. And then next thing I know, I see her crying because her baby is, you know, screaming. And I'm like, so did, I guess we healed her. That's what us to assume. But yeah, they do a great job in, for the most part, giving us the full layout of what a patient is going through.
Mm-hmm. And I think we should go into kind of that patient case revolving around Claire and Melendez and their bone marrow transplant. Because last episode, they kind of got into some ethical trouble because they resuscitated their patient and they weren't supposed to. He signed a DNR to not bring him back. And I mean, obviously things kind of turned out for the best in his case, but in the event he did lose his father. But it was a kind of, it was an interesting tie-in because the father, like Dr. Park was obviously seeing a lot in that father because he wasn't there for his son. I'm assuming his wife had passed because he had mentioned like his wife had gotten sick. And I felt like that was kind of also a, like, brain blast for Dr. Park that he needs to really step it up. Now, this case, I feel like got the... I will say I feel like this case got the least amount of tension. And it was also kind of the one that I feel like was all over the place. Just, I don't know how you were feeling about the moment where Melendez was trying to pitch to Andrews. Oh, right, we'll go here, we'll go there, and then we'll do the surgery in here, but we'll do the extraction in here. I'm just like, what is going on?
And then you bring out the puzzle piece to what I looked at it as, the layout of the hospital. We can go up this vault and down here. And then and I'm like, okay, just get it. Just do what it needs to be done. But I do like... I think I was about to lie. Let me back up some. I like that in helping the patients, not just this episode, but any of the previous ones, that they do get a bit of a reality check for themselves. Just the patients just telling them, you know, just their normal life and maybe their regrets of what they should or shouldn't have done. And that goes back to Dr. Park. I think when, I can't think of the name, but when the dad was telling about his regrets and what he should have done, you've seen the change in Dr. Park's face, like, oh, that's me, or oh, I did that too. And you get the realization that, okay, maybe I don't want to go this route and this happened to me and my son. So I feel like that's part of what prompted him to then be more vulnerable and open to Kellen later on in the episode. But I did not like that he died. I didn't. I wanted the reunion. Or maybe if he even come back, they held him for as long as he could. And then after the father-son moment of, you know, thank you for the bone marrow, you know, my sorry for not being there, my regrets, you know, to relieve all of that information. And then maybe he died. I would have preferred to see it that way instead.
I would have liked that as well. But of course, kind of in an episode of chaos, there was to be some kind of sad ending to something. I have a question for you, though.
Okay.
Do you feel, Claire, this episode was cheated in the sense that you have Morgan, Dr. Park, and Sean Murphy all having to kind of perform solo surgeries, and Claire was kind of in the background, staying behind, not even, you know, in the, like, little room with Melendez, being there for the extraction? Granted, she was watching the patient, so we understand that. Right. But do you feel she was cheated in a sense?
I did. So this is what I said I wanted to say till later, but you're going to bring it out of me, which is great. Because I did want to save it anyways. So yes, because I started thinking, you know, prior to, and especially at the beginning of this season, they were told by Dr. Andrews to work on specific things. And I do feel like she was left out because Dr. Resnick and Dr. Murphy had standout procedures. They did solo surgeries. They helped bring people back to life. And Claire did as well. But I started thinking, you know, well, what is this going to mean for their attending competition? Because the whole scheme of it, not the scheme, but the whole gist of part of this season two is who's going to be the next attending out of the three. So I feel like that made Claire kind of lose a couple of notches in that race to be in the next attendee. Mm-hmm. I do think that Dr. Murphy could be in the forefront of it right now. Him and Morgan are very close in lead, or first and second place, however you want to say it. But I think that's when we'll start to see Morgan go back to mean Morgan and start trying to scheme her way through things. But yes, I do agree with you, or... that the fact that Claire did get cheated, and I wonder how that's going to affect her later on.
I feel like it would affect her in the way of, because in the last couple episodes, we were seeing how she was playing around with the idea of possibly going to another hospital because she was getting cheated out of her education because Melendez had cut her off.
Right.
And so I feel like she won't look at this situation as like, oh, I didn't get the chance to do what they did because it was a unfortunate situation that just happened upon them. But I think it's going to be brought up in future episodes of, oh, maybe Dr. Andrews or Dr. Melendez or even Dr. Lim sees their potential because they did do that, and they won't look as Claire maybe as much because she didn't have that experience. And maybe it'll start to have her play around with the idea of, again, of maybe I need to leave. Yeah. We don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe there won't be a death. Maybe a character will just leave.
Yeah.
So a lot of ideas being thrown around here.
Yes.
This episode was definitely chaotic. Any final thoughts, Tequila?
Final thoughts. I think I'll get to those final thoughts when we get to the answering the question of who may leave or die and who the person will be. But shout out to Jazz41173. She just gave a little cool tidbit that the actress who played Dr. Park's ex, is his real life wife.
I did see that.
I did see that. I was like, oh, okay. So thank you, Jazz41173, for that information. And now I got to go back just to look at, you know, more in depth or just more in tune and pay attention to that part and how they kind of interacted with that. I like that idea, though.
And that brings up a good prediction that I have, and I'll save it when we get to predictions. But before that, I think we should get into our special segment. Now, this show, we obviously so much good coming out of our residents. They are performing miracles with all of the helping their patients in every way, shape that they can. We also like on this show highlight a real life good doctor, and I will let Tequila take it away on this one.
So yes, our real life doctor this week is Dr. Kenneth Jackson. He is an obstetrician, a family physician, and a royal practitioner who frequently travels on horseback to provide prenatal care to women living in remote, undeserved regions. And you'll be able to explain why. Okay. It's horseback, but I thought that was really cool.
That's so different.
A doctor on horseback. It's like TV all over again. So yes, he frequently travels on horseback, like I said, to provide prenatal care to women living in remote, undeserved regions. He's based in Kingman, Arizona, and he has over 40 years of professional experience. He's delivered 4,000 babies and provided care to a wide range of populations. He's been affiliated with several Native American communities, providing prenatal care in such remote areas in the Grand Canyon. So I figured that's why, because he does go to remote areas in the Grand Canyon. It's easier to do horseback riding through the Grand Canyon, you know? So I thought that was pretty cool. And then in 2010, Dr. Kenneth Jackson was named Country Doctor of the Year by Staff Care. So I thought that was really cool to highlight him, because I feel like he's a doctor. And for me, at least, you think doctors... are serious. Like, that role as a doctor is a serious role. You don't really joke around. You don't get to see the light side of them. But think, if your doctor came to you on his horse, he didn't come up in like his car, his BMW, or
it
whatever.
It would boost morale, because that's not something that you see.
Exactly.
Like, if I was sick and I saw that, I'd be like, oh, like, my morale is up a little bit, because, you know, that's kind of funny. That's really interesting.
And in one of the and in one of the pictures as well, you see him. He has his horse and his cowboy hat and his vest jacket and his little plaid shirt. So I just thought that was really cool. So and different, too. It would make me feel not as much pressure, because it's the normalcy kind of a life of how he comes to deliver his care to his patients.
I was going to say, it's probably also a comfort level, because some people don't like being in a doctor's office. They get very nervous because a lot of craziness is happening around them. There's probably overhearing very serious stories.
Yes.
He comes to them in the comfort of their home. But I'm also just very curious how far he goes.
Yeah. We have to search up some royal areas in the Grand Canyon.
I'm probably going to like dig a little bit deeper, because I would love to know a little bit more about like how far he goes, how much he can carry with him, like how people reach out to him if he's like,
that's very true, how much he can carry with him. I didn't think about that point.
And if people are just like reaching out to him via the internet or.
Well, he's with. Let me go back and see if I can find it in the other section of another article. Staff Care is one of the clinics that he works with, so they can go in and make appointments. They can call regularly. Or is it regular, I guess? But just those, I think for the most part, just those that are in the remote regions in the area of Kingman, Arizona. That's when he takes his horse as his transportation and then goes and assists them. It doesn't say more. That's a good point. I wish we could see, you know, like you said, what he does carry, what he is able to carry, and then what kind of calls he can receive that he can then just go to those remote areas with, you know, however much he can, and utilities and supplies to help them. But yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome.
I really like this story. Yes. It's so different. He's doing it, and how appropriate that he is a doctor who does, who performs birthing deliveries. That's, and we had our Sean's very first delivery this episode. That's so why. How appropriate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tequila. That was such a great story. And to any fans out there watching or listening, if you know of a real life good doctor, please let us know. We would love to highlight them and hear more of these awesome stories. All right. let us get into some predictions for next week.
Oh, boy.
Or just in the series in general.
Now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Would you like to go first, Koila?
Oh, predictions. So I think, I feel like Claire and Dr. Melendez are going to get reprimanded somehow when they speak with, when the dust all really settles and they speak with Dr. Andrews. Because they didn't necessarily follow protocol, even though it was a success in the end. I still think they're going to get reprimanded in some way, but I do think that's going to, I don't know, come back and sever the bridge that was broken between Claire and Melendez. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward more to Dr. Melendez and Dr. Lim. I think I might like them together. I feel like Dr. Lim might bring out, she's a little wild, we see, when she's not at work and a little fun and outgoing. So she might bring that side out of Dr. Melendez. I would like to see, because he's handsome. And then Sean, I don't really, for Sean, have any prediction for him. Dr. Glassman, I think this is going to be his last round as far as his medical concerns go. Once he's cured of his meningitis.
For a minute, I thought you were going to be like, this is his last round. Like, he gone.
No. That's not my person who's going to leave. I don't think it's going to be him, and I will be surprised if it is. But I do think once he's cured of his meningitis and his memory is all there and he's cleared, he'll come back to work. And what aspect will be interesting to see, but he'll come back. I think that's all I have for now.
I am very curious to see if Kellen will become a reoccurring character, since kind of we've established that Dr. Park wants to be a part of his life and they kind of mended their relationship. I'm also curious if maybe he'll be able to mend his relationship with his ex-wife, I believe. That's what she was, his ex-wife. If, you know, because now, because he's realized that, you know, he doesn't show emotion. He's like a wall. He keeps a wall up.
Right.
And he's had time away from that. I think this experience kind of showed him how short life can be. And so I'm wondering if he's going to try and really mend the relationship with his family. Will that lead him back to Phoenix? Because he's trying to repair that relationship. Like you, I said, maybe it's not a death of a character. Maybe it's someone leaving the show. I don't know why I'm assuming that, like, someone's going to be gone. I think it's just too happy of a medical drama that I'm, like, waiting for the ball to drop.
Definitely. I'm in agreement with you.
I'm really hoping that along the lines of mending relationships, I really hope that Sean and Glassman also kind of become better friends again. Yeah, like Glassman was going down like a dark hole for a while because of everything that was going on with his health. And I think, like we had talked about, Leah snapped him back into reality. And so I hope there's something there that can be worked on as well. And I have to agree with you, Sequoia. I really like Dr. Lim and Dr. Melendez together. I don't know what it was. I think maybe she challenges him. Granted, you could say the same thing about Claire, but I think she challenges him in a healthy way because they're like competitors. They want to outdo each other. So it's like a healthy competition where they better each other. I think because I know Melendez and Claire was the other partial ship. I think they just have a little bit ways to go, but I'm really excited to see where it goes.
And just for a hot second, so before we get to closing up the show, it says that in the chat, Billie Jean Girl 24 really hopes that no one dies. Jazz 41173 said that Claire only wanted to leave because of the tension with Melendez. Yes, true. Coffee Time says she fully suspects Claire will leave by the end of season. So there's one. Billie Jean Girl 24 again says that Sean and Leah look like they're just going to be friends. So I want to see Sean. I want to see Sean find someone for himself. Ooh. I like that part. And then those are the few that just went in and said that they who would leave or who they would suggest would leave or die off the show. That sounds horrible. And then apparently the blind
written
lady
off. Written we'll off. Say written off
Thank
the
you.
Show.
Written
we'll put
off.
It in a nice way.
And then apparently the blind lady is going after the docs next week. And will Andrew stand up for them was a question that Jazz 41173 posted as well. So maybe that's another prediction we can add to it as well.
Thank you, guys. We love all the theories. Keep them coming. Keep them coming in the chat, in the comments, on iTunes. We love hearing everything. But unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for tonight. Tequila, where can the fans find you on social media?
Hi, everybody. Again, I'm Tequila Jackson. Come hang out with me at Tequila_IAM.
And I'm Veronica Valencia. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_V. Thank you again so much for tuning in. Happy New Year, and we will see you all next week. Have a good night.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.